John chapter 10, then, starting at verse 1 and reading through to verse 18, says this. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. We're going to play a little game, first of all. So kids, if you've got your clipboards, you might want to put them down, first of all. We're going to play a little game of Simon Says, okay? Adults, you can join in with this too. But I need you to be honest, because I can't look at 100 people all at once to see whether you've... you know, succeeded or failed with Simon Says. So be honest if you get it wrong and go out of the game, basically, okay? So I will, you know the principle of Simon Says, right? Simon Says, and if I say Simon Says, you have to do it. If I don't say Simon Says, you don't do it, right? Some people look really blank as though I've just made this game up, okay? I haven't made it up. It's a real game, honestly. Right, so let's try, okay? And bear in mind, if you go half to doing action, that counts as being out, okay? Otherwise, we'll be here forever. So, Simon Says, put your right hand on your head. A few people going, which is right and left? Put your right hand on your head. Simon Says, put your left hand on your head. I didn't say take the right hand off. If you took your right hand off, you're out already, okay? Put your left hand down. There's a few twitches there. Simon Says, put your right hand down. Simon Says, put your left hand down. Put your left hand up. Oh, gone, yeah. Unlucky, sorry. Simon Says, touch your nose with your index finger of your right hand. Simon Says, put it back down again. Simon Says, put it back on the end of your nose again. Simon Says, put it down again. Put it on the end of your nose again. Oh, there's a few more twitches on that one as well. Right, who was left? Honestly, if you were left in, I was less than I thought, actually. It's probably about, was less than half left in. Right, okay. You got to that point. What's the point of that? It wasn't just to have a little bit of fun. It was the point of this. I wonder how many voices we hear each day, right? I try to look this up on the internet thing, and the internet's really clever now. There's all AI-generated answers to stuff when you type it into Google. I said, how many voices did the average person listen to a day? And it started telling me about the number of people who hear voices in their head. I was like, that's not the question I asked. AI is supposed to be intelligent, but it obviously didn't understand that question. Or there was just no information about it. But I imagine it's way more than we think. So I don't just mean adding up the number of different voices or people who spoke in a TV program they've watched. I don't just mean the snippets of conversations that we hear as we're sat having our haircut or as we go and buy our bread at the shop. I wonder how many opinions we hear or spoken, written, or through advertising or news feeds or social media every day. I imagine it is a huge number, way more than we would think. Because the reality is we are surrounded by hundreds of voices every day. And every single one of them has something to say. Every single one of them has an idea. Every single one of them has an opinion. They all want to communicate something to us, big or small. Now, at the start of the book of Proverbs, we've got a father speaking to his son. King Solomon's addressing one of his sons, aiming to help him to live wisely in the world, to learn from his own experiences. He not only aims to give him good advice, but aims to expose the hidden traps that his son might not be aware of. He wants his son to be aware, to be alert of what's going on around him. He wants his son to gain wisdom, to avoid some of the pitfalls that he himself may have fallen into. And so repeatedly at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, he says, listen, my son, listen, listen. Now, listening is a key skill when it comes to growing in wisdom and knowledge. Listening really is essential to learning. But listening is not something that you and I do automatically. Well, it's not something we do well automatically. Some of the verses that we'll read in just a second show us that we would rather speak than listen. That we often like to voice our opinions rather than take on board anybody else's. So listen to these verses. Proverbs 12 verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Fools find no pleasure. This is Proverbs 18. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Proverbs 18 verse 13. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Proverbs 19 verse 20. Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. See, what the book of Proverbs tells us as we work through it, failing to listen well is foolishness, whereas good listening will make us wise. So this morning I want us to think about this idea of wisdom and listening under three headings. Now, for those who've been coming to the church for a long time, the vast majority of the sermons you will hear here on a Sunday will be working through a book of the Bible passage by passage. Today is a topical sermon. We're thinking about wisdom and listening, and we're drawing in a bunch of different things from parts of the Bible. Also, my personal style of preaching, as you will have gathered if you've been here for a while, is not really to list off headings for you to mark down and work through. Generally, I'll go through the text verse by verse, and we'll see what it says to us together and why it matters. So the fact that this morning is A, a topical sermon, and B, you're going to have three headings is really rare. So if you like that, enjoy it, because it doesn't happen very often. The three headings, for those who like to make notes, I want to try and work out how far through the sermon I am, so how much I've got left, are as follows, okay? The first one is, what stops us from listening well? Okay, that's the first point we're going to think about. What is it that stops us from listening well? The second is going to be, who is it we are listening to? And third is going to be a little bit more practical, and well, how then do we listen? Or how do we listen well? So the first thing is, what is it that stops us from listening well? And I'm not thinking about those of you who might have hearing aids, turning them off. Now, obviously, that does have an effect. You can't listen well if you turn your hearing aids off, but that's not what we're getting at. When I say, why is it that we don't listen well? What is it that stops us from listening well? I'm thinking about, what is it in our hearts? What is it about our attitudes that stops us from listening well? Because listening is not simply about sound waves entering in the ear canal, hitting the eardrum, vibrating through those three little bones, going into the cochlea and being transmitted into your brain, where it's either recognised as words or music or whatever it might be. Okay, that was my GCSE biology. That might not, there's probably a doctor here tells you that's not how hearing works, but that's all I can remember from GCSE biology. Because we can hear words, but not have listened to them. Okay, we can hear words, but not have listened to them. These proverbs that we read just a couple of minutes ago, they're not the only ones. They tell us that hating correction is stupid, but that accepting instruction is wise. That's why I'm saying there's more to listening than merely hearing the words. To listen means to take on board what we hear. To listen goes beyond hearing to responding. Now, we might reject what we hear. We could be being told a lie. We could be being given really bad advice. But the point is that to listen well is more than just to hear the words that are being said. And so I think the reality is, if you think about the way those proverbs that we read speak, is that what stops us from listening is mainly pride. What stops us from listening well is mainly pride, because we think, well, I know better. I don't need to listen to that. I already know the answer. So practically, we switch off. Or we interrupt, or we put forward our own opinion instead of listening to what else somebody is saying. See, to listen well requires effectively the opposite of pride. It requires humility. It requires me to say, look, I don't know everything. I need help from other people. I need to acknowledge that somebody else might have a very valid contribution, which is something I've never thought about, which is actually far better than my current thinking. Let's read that Proverbs 18, verse 13 again. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Link that to James 1:19 that Daz reminded us of last week, where it speaks about we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Proverbs telling us what happens if it's the other. If we're quick to speak and slow to listen, there's going to be a problem. How many times have you watched some kind of daytime TV quiz show or evening quiz show or repeat on Dave or whatever else it might be, like where the question master is asking the questions and obviously the participants, the contestants are like wanting to answer as fast as they can, either to build their money pot or to get as many questions answered in the time so that they're kind of leading against the other contestants. But how many times have you heard them try to answer the question before it's finished and get it wrong? Quite often, right? Question gets asked, they think, I know what the answer is to this, and they spout out an answer, and the question master says, no, that's wrong. Finishes the question, and they go, oh man, if I'd just listened to like three more words, I'd have got it right. They're kicking themselves, aren't they? Because what did they do? They answered before they listened and got it wrong. So they get no money in the pot, or they don't get another point on the board, or whatever else it might be. And then they look sheepish, because they've made a fool of themselves. But away from quiz questions, giving an answer before somebody finishes speaking or interrupting them before we've heard what's being said is just rude, isn't it? If we're honest. Shows disregard for the person who's speaking. Whether we think we know more than them or not, whether we actually know more than them or not, it is just rude. And that is a helpful correction to me, because if I'm honest, and I try to be as honest as I can be, I am sadly too often guilty of jumping in when I think I know what's going to be said. Because I think, well, if I just listen to the end of this, it's going to waste my time. So if I get in before that and anticipate what they're going to say, because I'm pretty sure I know what it's going to be, I'll save me time and them and breath. It'll, you know, it'll just be better. It'll be faster. But it's unwise, isn't it? And it's unkind, because how can I possibly know everything somebody's going to say? Makes it look like I don't care. Makes it look like I think I know better. Or it makes me basically place upon that person the feeling that they think, that I think they're a waste of time. It could also make me look like a right fool if I get the wrong end of the stick. Anyone else guilty of that kind of thing? We need to realise that we are being foolish when we fail to listen, rather than being wise. And I think we need to ask, don't we, the Lord for basically him to break down our pride, to give us humility, to help us to be slower to speak and to quicker to listen. So I think that is the heart of why we don't listen well. Lack of humility or too much pride. Proverbs 15, verse 31 to 32 says this. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves. But the one who heeds correction gains understanding. See, if we're not really ready to listen to what anybody else says, then we are making ourselves immune to correction. We're not willing to take on board that we might well be wrong about something. If we're not willing to receive discipline with humility, then we will miss out on understanding. We'll not be at home among the wise. And actually what it says is we will deprive ourselves of something good. We're effectively despising ourselves. Stopping ourselves from receiving something good by simply not being willing to listen or be corrected. And there is a pride and an arrogance in all of us that thinks we know best. There is a pride and an arrogance in us that wants to do things our own way without anybody else's help. There is sadly a pride and arrogance in us that means we will then massively miss out because we refuse to listen. The reality is there is always somebody who knows more than we do. Always. There's always somebody who's been in the position that we're in now. There's always somebody who's been through what we've been through. And so the question is, are we really going to ignore them? Are we really too proud and too stubborn to listen to correction, to listen to a different perspective, to gain the understanding that we might need? Do we really think that we see things perfectly from all the angles it could possibly be seen from? Do we really want to repeat the mistakes of the past by being unwilling to learn from them? What stops us from listening well? The implication of the verses in Proverbs is our own sinful hearts. And so if we want to be better at listening and gaining understanding and knowledge and learning and growing and taking on correction, as the Proverbs keep pointing us to, we need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. We need to ask him to change our hearts by a work of his Spirit. Why don't we listen well? Quite often because we're proud and stubborn. But then the question I think is even bigger question is, well, who are we listening to then? Who are we listening to? I said at the beginning, I think there are probably hundreds of voices every day heard by us, some of which will be very loud, some of which will be subtle, some of which we'll be aware of, and some of which we won't. But those voices are many and varied. Now, the obvious ones are the people maybe that we live with, our friends or our family or our work colleagues. And then there's the, particularly for those who are, you know, smartphone and internet savvy, there's all of the social media channels, the accounts that we follow, the people that we like or listen to, the channels that we subscribe to on YouTube. Then there's music, the artists that we listen to, the ideas that they put out there. But who we listen to matters immensely. I don't think we can overestimate how important it is as to who we listen to. A silly example, okay? If you're in a burning building and a fireman's telling you to jump out of the window onto the large inflatable that they have placed to catch you underneath the window, and at the same time a random passerby says, no, stay where you are, the fire will just burn itself out and you'll be fine. Then you'll be able to walk down the stairs and it'll all be no problem. You've got a choice, right? Two voices. You can listen to one or the other. Who are you going to listen to? Of course you're going to listen to the fireman because he knows what he's talking about. The passerby could be anybody, right? But we've always got a choice of who we listen to. And that's an obvious one. Nobody's going to listen to the passerby. Anybody who does come and see me afterwards, we've got a bit of a different conversation to have, right? But we know who to listen to. But there are voices all the time, conflicting voices, and we have to choose which ones we're going to listen to. We have to choose which ideas we're going to give our attention to. We've got to work out who is it and what is it that's shouting loudest into our lives. We've got to ask the question, are there things that are subtly shaping us, influencing us, without us realizing it? Anything from the way the headlines are written on our newspaper or our news feed will subtly shape the way we think, unless we're switched on to engage with it. Because everything has a message. Everything speaks from a particular worldview, and generally things will be offering us something attractive. The voices that we listen to. Remember when we looked at Proverbs, if you want to listen to the sermon series we did on Proverbs 1 to 9, it's kind of from last September to December. We did a lot of thinking about those conflicting voices and what they offered. But they offer things like popularity and pleasure and money and excitement and shortcuts. But the question is, at what cost? It can be hard to know what to do, can't it? When we have conflicting ideas presented to us. It can be hard to know how to respond. It can be hard to know what is best. I said at the beginning of Proverbs, we're presented with two female voices, woman wisdom and lady folly. And woman wisdom offers life and learning, whereas lady folly offers quick fixes and ultimately death. And the consequences of each one are laid out. That's what Solomon does. He lays out the consequences so that his son will make wise decisions. Book of Proverbs talks about plenty of other things too. It talks about the value of having good friends, who you choose to be friends with, the company that you keep. And Solomon says to his son early on, doesn't he? Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Question for us, including you kids. Are we doing what our friends say because we don't want to be left out, even when we know it's wrong? And we're ignoring our parents and what they say because, well, it's just much cooler to do my own thing. For all of us, are we missing out on wisdom from the older generation because we think, well, I haven't got the time or the effort to interact with them, and I'm sure that their thoughts will be quite outdated. And on the flip side, are we missing out on wisdom from the younger generation because, well, we've got in our heads that they can't possibly understand the struggles that we face? Who we listen to matters. And yet, ultimately, there is one voice, isn't there, that must rise above all the other noise. Ultimately, there's one voice that will always tell us the truth. There is one voice that we can be sure will always give us good, sound advice. There is one voice that can pierce the darkness with light. There is one voice that speaks hope to the hopeless and gives life to the lifeless. There is one voice that can always be trusted and followed. And that is the voice we read about earlier in John's Gospel, isn't it? It is the voice of God. It is the voice of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God who took on flesh. And the reality is, his voice is not scarce, is it? We can hear his voice every day. Because it's right here. Readily available to us. These words in this book are the very words of Almighty God. Think about these verses. We read some of these earlier, but it's worth reading them again. Well, first of all, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is God-breathed, that's this book, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, that's going to do that work that we need, isn't it? If we listen to it well, it's going to give the correction, the training, the teaching that we need. Isaiah 40:6-8, all people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. As was pointed out to me earlier this week, Daz and I were chatting in the office, and Peter quotes that. But he quotes it 800 years after Isaiah wrote it. And we read it now, 2,800 years after Isaiah wrote it. And it still rings true, doesn't it? All people are like grass. But the word of God endures forever. And then from Psalm 19 earlier, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Surely then, as we hear those words, we want to listen to something that will teach us and train us and correct us. Surely we want to listen to something that will stand the test of time, that never fades, and that brings life. Surely we want to listen to something that will refresh our souls and will bring joy to our hearts, and that is more valuable than gold. And the only thing that does that, the only thing that fits the bill, is the Word of God. And God's Word will gently show us our need. It will show us that we are sinners who face judgment from God because we have rejected Him. Him who made us, Him who loved us, Him who has given us everything we need. And yet God's Word will also graciously give us the answer to our problem. Our problem is that we cannot fix ourselves. We cannot pay the price for our own sins and be free. But Jesus, the Word, who is God and who took on flesh, stood in our place, having lived the life we couldn't live, dying the death that we deserved, and rising to new life so that we can have freedom and joy forever. God's Word will then strengthen us to persevere in the right way, because in it we have everything we need for life and godliness. God hasn't left us to guess what we need to do. He's told us. He has given us his living and active word to follow. There is great reward in following the word of God. And if you think about that bit in Isaiah as well, all people are like grass, like flowers of the field, wither, fall, but the word of God stands forever. That means all of those other opinions that are being spouted to you, left, right and centre, from social media, from friends, from wherever else you might be, every single one of those opinions will disappear. They won't stand the test of time. They'll be gone. Only one thing will last and stand the test of time, and that's the word of God. So it's a no-brainer, isn't it, when you think about it? What should I listen to? Well, I should listen to God's word because it's the one thing that's going to last. But so often I don't do it. I listen to the opinions of this person, that person, the other person. Take on board those other ideas and think, oh, that might be a better way to do it. The wise person will listen to the word of God above all other voices. And so if we need a change of heart that only God can bring, because we need humility in place of our pride and stubbornness, and if we need to listen to God's voice first and foremost, what can we do about that? How is there anything we can put into practice that will help us to listen well, which is our final point, and it is shorter than the other two. How then do we listen practically and well? First of all, it is an obvious answer, and you're going to say, well, yeah, of course it is, Matt. First of all, we've got to be regularly in God's word, right? It's got to be regularly open and got to be regularly read. If our Bibles are closed and gathering dust on a shelf, then we are effectively choosing to put God on mute. If we want God's voice to be the loudest voice, if we want it to sound clearly above all the other voices in the world, then our Bible's got to be open and it's got to be read a lot. Because everything else is speaking a lot. Now, I'm well aware that that is a struggle. Again, to my own shame, for many years, my reading of the Bible, my devotional life with the Lord was sporadic at best and non-existent at worst. Even though I grew up in the church, even though I professed faith at 13 years old, even though I'd been a Christian for ages, I just didn't read the Bible anywhere near enough or as regularly as would have been helpful. But something that has been really helpful for me, particularly in the last, I don't know how many years, is just a simple thing that somebody once said in a video that I watched, was helping guys think about reading the word, was simply to have a time, a place, and a plan. And some of you have heard me spout that back to you before. When it comes to reading God's word, having a time to do it in the day, having a place where you're going to do it in the house or somewhere outside or wherever it might be, and a plan, whatever that plan is, a set of notes, a Bible in a year thing, whatever it is. But having it and sticking to it and getting into that routine, it takes time, but it's worth it. And that is what has helped me to sit and read the Bible regularly and to spend time praying. I go, I pick it up, find a place to sit, usually with a cup of coffee in hand, and I open it and I read through whatever it is I'm reading at this point in time. And when I've done that, and I've been realistic about doing it, not trying to think, well, I better sit and do it for 3 hours to make up for lost time, because that's just never going to happen, I've been much more consistent. Maybe that's something that'll help you. You want to chat me about that afterwards, feel free. But the Bible's got to be open. We've got to be reading it. We've got to be in it on a regular basis if we want God's voice to be louder than all the other voices. Then there's listening to sermons, explaining God's word. Now, there are two sermons preached here pretty much every Sunday of the year, morning and evening. Now, there are also then loads of sermons online that you could dip into and listen to during the week, when you're walking, when you're driving, whatever else you're doing. Word of warning, always listen to things discerning. Don't just presume because you recognize the name or because it's in a particular place or building or church that you know that it will be brilliant. Okay? Every time you come here, whoever stands here, you should be thinking, okay, I need to make sure this is being faithful to God's word, because I have God's spirit and I have God's word, and I can listen, and I need to listen with, you know, my eyes switched on, my brain switched on, my ears engaged. And particularly when it comes to stuff online, just be aware there's some absolute garbage out there. So if you're thinking, where should I go and what should I listen to? If you want some pointers in the right direction, speak to somebody afterwards, come and chat to me. But frequent and consistent listening is good. But again, you could listen and not really take it on board, right? You could just simply hear it. In our house, you might hear the following in some form, okay? You might hear the following words. How would I know that you are listening? Okay? You will hear something like that. How would I know you're listening? The rule in our house is basically that if you want to know somebody's listening, they have to stop what they're doing and look at you and give them your full attention. That's how I know you're listening, right? Hopefully the point is obvious. To really listen, you've got to be focused, right? No distractions. Not trying to do one thing and listen to another. Not only is it practically helpful, but it's going to give you the best chance to hear what's being said and actually respond to what is being said, as well as showing respect for the person. And what applies in a conversation between two people applies when it comes to God's word, doesn't it? God might not be stood in front of you, physically present to speak to you, but it is no less important to be focused as we come to his word to hear his voice. That's why, in addition to that time, plan and place being a good thing, it's got to be somewhere where you can focus. There's no point having a million and one other things going on around you while you're trying to read the Bible. Ideally, you want somewhere quiet. You want your phone to be on silent or out of the way. When it comes to listening to sermons, right? Making notes can be a great thing to do. Some of you do that and find it really helpful. Having your Bible open in front of you is basically the number one thing to do, right? It's no good being sat there as me or somebody else is preaching with your Bible shut or not even there. Now, it might be that it's on a phone, that's fine, it's not open, but it's on the screen. Looking at the preacher is good. Now, this is not where I just expect everybody to suddenly go, oh, quick, Matt said I should look at the preacher, right? Silencing your phone is a good thing too. There are very few things that are an emergency that you will need to hear in the hour and a half you're in this room that won't wait till afterwards. Now, if you're staring out the window, it's probably not going to help you. If you're navel gazing, I guess you could be writing notes or glancing down at the Bible, but you could equally be on Block Blast or checking the latest phone headlines for all I know. Right? Only you know that. Focus helps us to listen. So in summary then, listening requires humility, which means to listen well, to learn, to grow, to understand, to be wise. We're going to have to pray. Because I can't make myself more humble. I can't get rid of my own pride and stubbornness. That is a work of God's Spirit in my heart. That's the only way I'm really going to listen and respond well. Listening also requires us to stop and to focus, to actually hear what is being said, not presume or jump in or switch off. And who we listen to matters most. God first and foremost in his word, but then wise believers around us, because the world will spout so many thoughts and ideas and values at us, none of which will stand the test of time. Only the ideas, thoughts, values of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, will endure forever. So let me ask you, take these questions away maybe to think about. Who is it you're listening to? Who or which voice has the greatest influence in your life and why? And then let me challenge you to listen to Jesus, to listen to the good shepherd, because the sheep know his voice and the sheep who know his voice will follow him. If you are one of his sheep, you will hear that voice and God by his spirit will enable you to follow him. But if this morning you're not a follower of Jesus, we said earlier, didn't we, that we cannot fix our own problem. We are sinners. We've rebelled against God. And we need forgiveness. We need to come to Jesus. We need him to save us. And he has done all that needs to be done to save us. He died on the cross and rose again from the dead so that we could be forgiven and enjoy eternal life with him. And if that's something you've never heard before, it's the first time you're hearing it this morning, or you've heard it before but it struck you afresh today, there is no time like the present to turn from sin and trust in Jesus, to know that forgiveness and to be rescued by him. Let's pray together before we stand and sing, and then close with some words from Scripture. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we once again praise and thank you for your word. And we ask that in amongst all the voices that are in the world, the voices that will speak to us in many different ways, loudly, subtly, quietly, whispering, offering promises of things that it cannot give, or things that are temporary when it promises that they will be permanent. Help us to come back to your word and know that what we need is found in there, because in there we find you, in there we find forgiveness and salvation, we find promises of truth and joy and life and hope and peace now and forever. So Father, we pray that we would listen to your voice, listen to the voice of your Son, the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and follow. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.